Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more, or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And I want to start the broadcast today with some of the Facebook questions that are rolling in one after another. So I want to give a real shout out to those people that are asking questions on our Facebook page. First question, and I'm again just going in order as they come along. And this one is from Debbie, and she is asking how to explain to someone that even though God loves everyone, he chose Jesus as the only way to heaven, and why everyone might be nice, but if they don't know Jesus, they may not go to heaven. And she wants this explained, she says, in a way that, well, young people can understand. Well, let me try to do that. I think the first thing I want to say, Debbie, is that it is not the absence of knowledge that damns. It is the despising of knowledge that damns. And what I like to tell people, and I've done that many times in the Bible Answer Man broadcast, whether you're a child or an older person or middle-aged, doesn't really matter. You can see the sun, the moon, and the stars. And when you look at the sky, you immediately know something. You may not express it verbally, but you know it intuitively. There is a God. And that is just ratified by something else. The light of creation is augmented by the light of conscience, God's knowledge written upon the tablet of our consciousness. In other words, it's in our DNA. It's part of the warp and woof of which we consist. So we know about God from without and also from within. So what is our obligation as human beings? It is to respond to that light. And if we do, the Lord who knit us together in our mother's womb will lead us into more light. Now, obviously in the Old Testament, Abraham, though he is the father of faith, did not have the kind of light that you and I do. But yet he was a friend of God because he followed the light he had. That light ultimately exploding in a chorus of anthems as the angels beheld the incarnate Christ. So we now look back at that, and we have the opportunity to know Christ and the opportunity for Christ to become more real to us than the very flesh upon our bones. Julie is next up with a Facebook question. Thanks so much, Hank, for this opportunity. It's probably impossible to think of a question you haven't already been given and answered, but here it goes anyway. By the way, that's not true. Virtually every day I come into the studio, I get some question that I haven't been asked before, or some question that causes me to ruminate or think or study to show myself approved, and on it goes. The more you know, the more you realize how very little you know. Julie goes on to say, sometimes when reading the Bible, it refers to a book that isn't in the Bible. What as Christians should we do with that? Try to find those books and read them? Well, Julie, here's what I would say. All truth is God's truth, which is to say that if you look at Jude, Jude quotes from a book that's called Enoch. Though that book is not biblical, it contains truths that are consistent with the Bible, and therefore Jude is willing to quote it. And this is precisely why we are so delighted by a faith that has been handed over by the apostles to their disciples, and then from the disciples to each succeeding generation. This is what has been well described as the life of the Holy Spirit in the church. So truth gets passed on from generation to generation. Now, I've said this, I've written about this. I find the Bible to be the only infallible repository for redemptive revelation, the only infallible repository of truth. The church fathers, 100% of them were right 80% of the time. Their value is immense, but I've always said, test all things in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good. The next question by Corey, how much one-on-one time will we have with Jesus after his return? Will Jesus be omnipresent in his glorified body like the Father and the Holy Spirit are? Well, yes. Christ is omnipresent today, and he will be omnipresent in eternity. Now, I don't want to shout about things that I don't have requisite knowledge of. I don't know what my Father is experiencing right now in the presence of God. I know that he is being comforted. I know that he isn't the presence of the Lord. I know that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and therefore we ought to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and we must run with perseverance the race marked out for us, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you do not grow weary and lose heart. For in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your own blood. And have you forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as son? My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father, the son in whom he delights. And sometimes he does that through sickness. Sometimes he chastens us. It's kind of like a plant. You know, when the pruning takes place, wow, it's painful. And quite frankly, it doesn't look so good. But then after the pruning, there's new growth. And I think all of us need to seek for that very thing. Now, these kinds of truths you can find passed on through the generations. So yes, in answer to your question, try to find those books and read them. Right now, I'm rereading a book by John Climacus, John of the Ladder. And I'm savoring each paragraph. I'm usually reading two or three books at the same time, but it's one that I go back to over and over again. So lots of great books. We ought to read more. Put down the remote. Read Dante. You know, read some of the classics. You will enrich your life so much. I mean, all this talk you hear all around you, we need the sounds of silence so we can meditate, we can memorize, and we can excise from Scripture the riches that the Holy Spirit has placed there. Adam, how can your beliefs be the same now as codified in your books when you're operating with two authority structures now? Seems like a bit of a contentious question, but fair enough. I mean, I've said this over and over again. I've always believed that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. And I've always believed in what 1 Timothy 3:15 says. We often think of a lot of 3:15s, but here's a very important 3:15 to get into your head. It is 1 Timothy 3:15 again. What is Paul say there? Well, he's designating the church of the living God as the pillar and foundation of the truth. And what has been universally believed due to the Scripture is that the life of the Holy Spirit in the church is a very significant thing that should never be overlooked. I think of the song we have sung throughout the ages, Faith of Our Fathers Living Still, and how wonderful that the faith has been passed down through the generations. The truth of the matter is that while the faith has been handed over by the apostles to their disciples and then to each successive generation, the infallible repository for redemptive revelation is the Word of God. That is what I've written in my books, and that is what I hold to today. It is why I memorize, meditate, and mind the Word of God on an ongoing basis. More could be said, unfortunately, up against a heartbreak. Be back with more.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Another Facebook question, and then I will go to our calls. Mendez, Mr. Hanegraaff, hope you are well. 13 years ago, I found your radio broadcast. It's been a blessing. At that time, I lived in California. Now I live in Mexico, and I still listen to your broadcast. God bless you, your brother in Christ. Well, I guess that wasn't a question. It was a testimony. But thank you very much, Mendez. Chris, I think this one is a question. Does Satan know he will be defeated? That is a very good question. And the answer is absolutely. He knows he will be defeated. I mean, you think about James, one of my favorite books in the Bible. The author of James says, you believe that there is one God? Well, good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. And then later on, in John's apocalypse, read the book of Revelation, we hear these words, woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows his time is short. So does Satan know that he will be defeated on the authority of the Word of God? I can say yes, Satan knows that he will be defeated. Let's talk to Andrew, Kansas City, Kansas, listening on the web. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Thank you.
Hey, quick question. Couple of us at church were talking about it. Since you had kids growing up, I guess, what were some of the two or the three best ways you, I guess, could preach and keep and retain, you know, young adults, teenagers in the faith? Because they have a tendency when they grow up to kind of wander off for a while.
You really have to model the Christian faith. I mean, if your kids see you as one thing in public and the other in private, it is the kiss of death. It is something that will repel them, particularly if you are supposedly an exemplar for the Christian faith. And I was in Singapore or in Hong Kong with my 13-year-old. I was also visiting my daughter. But I had a speaking engagement in Singapore, and then in Hong Kong, I had opportunity to have a dialogue or a debate with an atheist, and great to be able to visit my daughter. Sometimes I think when I talk to her, she could probably do the show better than I could. She has just immersed herself in apologetics and in the Word of God. And why? She's seen my love for the Word of God. And hopefully, though I cannot transfer my faith to her, she has her own free will. She has seen the reality of the Christian faith, and now she's living that out in an exemplary fashion. So my son Xander, while we were in Hong Kong, it might have been Singapore, I can't remember exactly when he said this to me, but he did say to me, Dad, if you were not my father, I would be an atheist. And that really pierced me, because he was pointing something out. Many kids his age are not seeing the authenticity of the Christian faith lived out, where parents are, well, they're reordering their life around the divine, where earthly things are wonderful as far as they go, but we have our sights set on something far more glorious. So what am I saying in that? Well, I'm trying to say what my son was saying. He was looking for authenticity. He wasn't looking for a deep well of knowledge. I know he appreciates that because he asked me questions all the time. And I'm always amazed at how he's remembered the answers weeks or months later. But he's looking for something authentic. He's looking for something that is not just a big wheelbarrow full of information, but a life. I was talking to one of my colleagues at the Christian Research Institute, and he reminded me of a quote that we think comes from Luther, don't know if I can say it off the top of my head, but I think what he was saying to me is there is a cradle and there's an occupant for that cradle. The cradle being analogous to the Word of God. But we must never mistake the cradle for its occupant. That would be a serious error. And I think sometimes we mistake knowledge of Scripture for a relationship with Christ, a relationship that really means something. When you are in the midst of the cauldron of adversity, how do you react? Do you react in panic because your relationship with the Lord was based on a liver quiver, occasionally going to church, enjoying the show, being a consumeristic Christian? Or is your faith grounded in a relationship with the Lord? Well, when you are, as Spurgeon said, when you are in the refiner's fire, you find out whether your faith is just, a fad or something that can withstand all the fiery darts of the evil one, withstand all that swirls around you, and have a peace. Now, we're human beings. We're frail. I oftentimes say I have great faith in God, but I can tell you virtually every single day as I say, Lord, I trust in you alone, there's that little voice in the back of my head that says, you know what? Maybe so, but you trust a lot in yourself as well. And so I say, Lord, if there's any idol in my life other than you, if there's anything I'm placing my faith in, whether it's faith in my own faith, let that be gone, because I know that you alone are worthy of my trust and faith. Brandon next from Oregon, listening on the web. Hi, Brandon.
Hi, Hank. I got a question on eternal security. What does it matter if the true Christian cannot lose his salvation? If he can't lose it, what does it matter the choices that he's making, and how does it affect his choices and the way he conducts his Christian life?
Well, you know, you're raising a broad point here and a very significant point. And that point I have talked about frequently on this show. The Christian faith should never be seen as transactional, which is to say that I have now prayed a prayer, I got the entrance card into heaven, and now I can live however I want. Well, there are a lot of faults to that idea. First, when you think about what Paul said, there's no foundation other than Jesus Christ. But on that foundation, you can build. You can build using gold or silver or costly stones, or you can build using wood, hay, and stubble. But the day of the Lord will reveal what kind of materials you used. And if you used inferior materials, they're going to be consumed by the breath of the Lord. You yourself will be saved, but only, says Paul, as one escaping through the flames, conjuring up images of people escaping burning buildings, but with nothing on their backs, nothing to show, no possessions in their hands. Now, we're not talking about temporal possessions here. We're talking about those treasures that we have laid up in heaven. That's why Jesus says, do not labor for those things that perish, labor for those things that are eternal. So true followers of Jesus Christ, what do? They reorder their lives based on the divine. How do they do that? They do that within a community of faith where the sacraments are properly administered, where the Word of God is properly taught, where we can experience oneness with other brothers and sisters in Christ as delineated in Romans chapter 12, where we can be equipped to go out and impact a lost and searching world. So we should never think of faith as a transaction, but rather as an active participation as co-consummators in the kingdom of our Lord, and that empowered not by might or strength on a human level, but rather empowered by God Himself. I mean, think about that. God empowering you to be able to do what you do. How does He do that? He does that by the graces that He makes available to us. Some of these graces are downright disciplines. And if we're not in the spiritual gymnasium, it's very, very hard to progress in the faith once for all delivered to the saints. I'm out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. My apologies to those that I did not get to on the broadcast today. And once again, I'm deeply grateful for you standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.